When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass, the podcast that aims to take you behind the scenes of the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass and the sort of car social media worlds. My name is Sam, I run the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass, and I am the host of this podcast. This week, I am joined by Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales.
Hello guys.
He is back in what is going to be a sort of monthly feature on the podcast. We are going to be doing sort of Tony's car sale tips. Cars to buy, cars to sell. He looks excited.
Yeah, desperate.
Also, hello to those of you watching. We are trialing once again doing these podcasts on YouTube. We did launch this podcast on YouTube, didn't we?
Together. We did the first one.
It was a special moment.
Not that special. We done it twice.
No, yeah.
I think we re-recorded it three times, if I'm honest.
We're not doing this again, are we?
No, this is one. I'm a little bit better. I'm a little bit better at these podcasts now. But yes, basically, a lot of you have been asking, what happened to Behind the Glass? Where did it go? It's been going on, just audio only. So this podcast has been happening on soundcloud.com/seenthroughglass and iTunes podcasts. But I want to see whether there is a demand to bring it back to YouTube. So, what should we say? Like 5,000 likes?
Easy.
10,000
likes. Have you not been doing your job properly and directing your audience?
No, but I have. But I feel like a lot of people haven't got in. Podcasts is still a new thing, isn't it? It's still like a new age. Yeah, you wouldn't. It's for young people. But it's not a lot of people are into their podcast yet. I'm loving it. I'm enjoying it. They're on the up. But I understand that not a lot of people get it yet. So they appreciate this kind of like chat show type style YouTube video. 10,000 likes on this video and I'll bring them back as video formats. If we don't hit 10,000 likes, I'll keep them as audio and then every so often do video podcasts, which was always the plan. Anyway, today we are in... It's not quite finished yet.
No, it's close.
It's the new part of your show, new showroom, right?
Yeah.
So this is very exciting.
Yeah.
You look excited.
I'm very excited.
Those of you not watching, Tony does not look excited. Yeah. but it's coming together. You've got tons of cars in here at the moment. There's a new 911 991.2 Carrera S, A45 MG, 1M, RS3, SQ5, the old shape.
Yeah.
Cayenne. Next door, you've got a Vantage N430.
Yeah.
570S, your car, C63S,
new one, yeah.
RS3. I mean, there is widths around,
yeah.
And also there's the little Abarth.
Yeah,
the 695 Proposto Banana Mobile is now here because it is officially for sale. I've now parted ways with it. It is here at Gravelwood with a price on it. So if you are interested in that car, you need to go onto the Gravelwood website. Is that the best?
It's in preparation now, so
it will be up by now because this is. Thanks for ruining the illusion. Okay. Remember, this is not live. Tony.
This is June 2017. Yeah.
So it should be, hopefully, live by now.
You don't even know where it's up for sale yet.
Basically, go to Gravelwood's website, which is Gravelwood.
www.gravelwood.co.uk.
Perfect. And on there as well, there'll be phone numbers that you can call and harass Tony if you are interested
please
in
do.
That car. Yeah, please do. And the reason it's here, the reason it is now officially for sale is because we have decided... on what the next daily is, haven't we?
Can we say?
No. No. But we are working hard let me get my head in gear, to reveal it this weekend. So for those of you listening and watching, this weekend, if I've got my time travel correct, will be when we are revealing the next daily.
Mate, it would help if you told me when this went out.
Yeah, no, don't worry. Just go with it.
Okay, fine.
So yes, very exciting news. Very sad to be saying goodbye to the Abarth, but I'm hoping that one of you, maybe even, or somebody who loves that car as much as I have, takes on that ownership.
I've had loads of inquiries already about that. DMs and lots
it's
of people.
It's such a wicked car. Yeah. I honestly, like, for everyday purpose, whether it's your first car, whether it's your weekend toy, or whether it's a daily, because I did use it as a daily, it's amazing. And it's, I've left the sound system in because it's awesome. It's better than most sound systems I've ever experienced. And I think you kind of need it in that car. So yes, anyway, let's move on, because it's not all about the dailies. This, we've done a lot of, you know, the daily series is over now.
Yeah.
You actually missed a few episodes, but...
Us replaced by a dog.
And let's move on to what, as I say, it's going to be a monthly feature. Tony's going to come on and be an be a guest on Behind the Glass for sort of, it's like a car news kind of themed episode each month. So what we're going to do is talk about some of the cars that have been released or some press drives maybe that I've been on. And then at the end, we're going to go through to Tony's Gravelwood's top tips of cars to buy and sell. So I want to kick things off with something I did a few weeks ago now, which was Jaguar taking me to Portugal for the XJR 575.
Was that good?
You know what? It's old. It is old now, but it's gold, because how many manufacturers these days are making big V8 engines with 575 PS?
No.
I mean, like, it's like it was kind of just a bit of a brute. It felt like an old dinosaur in a really aggressive, nice way.
So just a facelift version of the
that's
old
not even
car,
a, that's not even really a facelift. Okay, I mean, I think fine. If you've got the XJR, it's probably pretty similar.
Okay.
It's got this nice new thing that Jags are doing in all their cars called the reverb band or something, which is basically makes it look like you're in a boat. It's actually quite cool. It's a really subtle thing, but it's quite cool. But it's a big car. Like, I don't know about you, but I don't drive that many big saloons. That's a big, long...
7 Series BMW or S-Class, right?
That's exactly where it sits as a rival, but this is a big, shouty Jag. Mm. And so I guess if you're in that market, you know where I think it will do well? China.
Yeah.
I think it will do well in China.
They have
a lot
of room in the back of their cars, you know?
Yeah, but...
And they're only little people. They're not 6'5" like you.
Tony, stop.
No?
No. But they are doing an extended wheelbase in China, so maybe that, yeah, okay. Anyway, yes, it was, you know, that car spins its wheels. I mean, it just is like a machine made to do burnouts.
But the F-Type R, all the big, fast Jaguars, they're all the same.
And I have to say, that's why I love Jag at the moment, because they're doing stuff that a lot of other manufacturers are kind of shying away from. Yes, they've just introduced a 4-cylinder F-Type, so they are obviously doing that as well. But they're still doing the big shouty stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what's so cool. And if you want something that's not an S-Class or not a BMW, basically not German, I do think that's a cool option.
I think their biggest problem is the Range Rover, which obviously is the same company. But
good point. Because now...
All the chauffeurs now...
Yeah, just Range Rovers.
Range Rovers or
S-Class. Extended wheelbases, Range Rovers or... Yeah, if... It was a tough one. I enjoyed it. It was cool, but it was just like, it was more cool that it exists than like, I really want this.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was a few weeks ago. Much more recently, I got back into a McLaren 720S.
And?
Well, you know what? I think when I first drove that car, I misunderstood it, because there was so much hype. There was so much build up. You know, this is basically the next P1. It's as quick as a P1. It's going to be amazing. It's raw, blah, blah. And then my first experience was driving it through Rome and then on the motorway. And then when we tried to put it into race mode, it broke. So
really? Yeah, McLaren?
That's so strange.
It's unbelievable.
So I think I was just a little bit like, oh, you know, I felt frustrated by it and
cheated.
I felt cheated. And then we couldn't take it on track where everyone was saying it was amazing. So all in all, it just didn't do it for me. But then getting back in it, in UK roads, production car, it started to make sense.
Okay.
Because it is just, it's a car that does everything. And for me personally, I prefer the slightly more, you know, hardcore special stuff, the LTs, you know, the Speciales. But if you are just wanting one supercar, that's like almost the perfect concoction.
But you know what is the perfect concoction?
Go on.
488. It doesn't matter how good the 720 is. It's not Ferrari.
Well, this is the thing. You know, funnily enough, I listen a lot to the Salamandrin podcast.
Yeah.
And he is...
He likes his, right?
Oh, he loves McLaren, and he's a bit anti-Ferrari these days. Which, you know, fair enough. Everyone's allowed their own opinions.
Yeah, for sure.
But the thing is, the 488 and the 720 aren't direct rivals, because they're sort of slightly off kilter on their production timelines.
Yeah, yeah.
But on the road, the 488 is probably as capable, because it's so rare that you extract all of that 720 power. When you do, it's another level. It's 918. I mean, it's hypercar quick. But how often do you extract that on public?
Is it hypercar quick? Because I know someone that's got a P1 and a 720, and he said that the P1 is another level still.
But it's because it's a very different power delivery.
Okay, fine.
In terms of lap time, has anyone done that yet? Guys, let us know. Has anyone actually tested P1 versus 720S on a track? Because I think lap time it would be close, but the actual delivery and experience is so different.
Because you've been in a P1,
oh my
right?
God, well, I was in the passenger seat of a P1, but it felt so mental and raw and aggressive, and like it was just wanting to kill you every 2 seconds.
Yeah,
I never felt like the 720S wanted to kill me. It just felt really quick, but I felt in control.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you get into the lightweight stuff,
a bit more aggressive.
Yeah, it's very user-friendly. Okay. But, you know, I've heard, this is unconfirmed, unofficial information, that the 570S LT is in development. The sort of hardcore lightweight version of the sports series is being worked on. Now, for me, that is like, oh!
I'm getting one.
Again, as I say, it's not confirmed, nothing official here. I've just heard rumours, and Tony's already deposit.
Because on the road, I always thought the sports series was a little bit more agile, a little bit more silly, a little bit more fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That 720S is as incredible as it is. It's almost too much. Mm. Like, but it's a weird one. I totally see the appeal. I get why you would love it, because it's so capable. It just depends what you want from a car. Mm. And I think, as I say, for me, I always want the more hardcore variant. So it was amazing to get back in one, but I think I'm more excited by the 570 LT, whatever it's going to be called, whatever it is.
That's going to be be a proper car.
Will be a proper car. God knows when, if that is actually happening, when it's going to be confirmed.
Yeah.
P15. Now, this is the
hypercar.
They've just started teasing it. Yeah, they've literally, McLaren have just started teasing it now. They did a shot of the exhaust. As this is kind of like their new Ultimate Series. Yeah, Ultimate Series car. Very track focused. We think limited numbers. Kind of, as I say, it's more of a road going race car than a racy road car.
Okay, so is this to compete with the Mercedes hypercar then?
No.
Okay, fine.
So it's not that level.
Okay.
It's a step just below.
Right.
But it's, I'm trying to think, it's my Ford GT maybe? So something that has been developed for the track that they've made a road version of.
Right, okay.
So it's, you know, that it's predominantly a race car.
Okay.
That they've then gone, we can probably stick some, you know, road tires on this and some wing mirrors and off he goes.
Okay, good.
So it's supposed to be insanely hardcore, mental, super quick, crazy downforce, which I think will be amazing.
Hybrid?
But big money. I don't think hybrid. Okay. Maybe. I don't think so. Again, this is all rumoured at the moment. Nothing has been confirmed, which is frustrating for this podcast.
But there
podcast.
Is a P15 coming.
Yes, the code name. That is the sort of code name as to date.
The
whispers and rumours is P15. Who knows what the name will be eventually. But that, I think, is incredibly exciting. And then, obviously, McLaren are working on the BP23, which is the three-seater McLaren F1 kind of nod to.
Yeah.
But it's a big GT cruiser, that thing, and it's multi-million pounds and all sold out. And
an SUV as well.
No,
I swear to God.
Do you know how
SUV?
Many McLaren press briefings I've been to when they say we will not be making an SUV?
And did you hear something in the press about Ferrari as well making an SUV?
The FUV.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. So that is definitely happening and confirmed from Ferrari. They're like, it's coming.
Perfect.
But I think McLaren would be more likely to go down the Panamera route. I think so. And I know Salomondrin's talked about this a lot before on his. And from just kind of asking around customers and McLaren employees, who I shall not name, I really would be surprised if they did an SUV. But I do think a sort of Panamera-y, shooting brake, rapide type, you know, McLaren, either four-seater or four-door.
100 grand-ish.
No. 250. FF.
Oh, okay.
That's what I see coming. Like big money, but a big grand tourer with four seats.
Okay.
That is still sport. I don't know.
Okay.
I totally unconfirmed, but that's what I think will happen.
But then what would their 4-litre V8 engine in it?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Sick.
Really?
I don't know. Is it not?
Not an 812 superfast engine?
But that's a Ferrari, man.
Yeah, I know. But that's what it's going to compete with a V12. And they're going to put a V8 in it.
Yeah, but I'm not so against that.
I am.
Okay, let's move away from McLaren. As I say, big thanks to McLaren for that opportunity to get back in a 720S after I wasn't so nice about it. I did appreciate that.
Is that why they let you back in?
Maybe. On to Porsche. Now, as you all know, I've started to get into the Porsche way of life. And
At last.
And one of the front runners for the daily is a Porsche Cayman 718S. And we are surrounded by Cayenne here, 911 Carrera S.
McCann.
So, Porsche. You are a Porsche man.
Huge.
Talk to me about the 911 T.
So, 911 T, from what I know, it is a base... lightweight 911, entry level 911,
super entry level, kind of a lot of stuff taken out of it.
Yeah,
low horsepower,
375 horsepower.
Okay,
3 litre turbocharged Carrera engine, Carrera S engine.
Sure,
82 or 83 thousand pound base.
Okay. So this sits kind of under.
Under the Carrera S.
So this is kind of almost like your entry level. This is as boggo spec as we can go, but it's kind of a driving pleasure. Is that right?
But it's only 20 kilos lighter than an S. So why?
And so what are you getting over, for example, 718 Cayman GTS?
Less? Yeah. But it's a bit less money. So obviously T means touring, right?
Yes.
So it is an entry level 911.
But it's a touring, but it's then lightweight and
but 20 kilos.
So basically
that's not huge.
I don't understand this car. It's basically what I'm trying to say.
No, nor do I.
They did the GT3, and then they said they announced doing a touring pack version of the GT3, which I think everyone got super excited about. You deleted the wing. You could have the manual. It was kind of like almost like another 911R, but a slightly
price range one.
Yeah, if the 911R was based around the GT3 RS, this was kind of a 911R version of the GT3. So it felt achievable and attainable.
Yeah.
Then they brought out this 911T, which is like. I just don't understand the point of it. Like, because would you not get just a 911 Carrera S and just get a manual one?
Or just buy a GTS.
Or just buy a 718 GTS.
I've heard on social media that people are comparing it to a everyday price range 911R. But what people don't understand is the 911R was price range at least.
It was totally price range.
But it just went mad.
But the 911R was not a manual 911. The 911R was a manual 911 GT3 RS.
Correct.
I mean, it had so much going on for it. It was completely developed and mastered to be driving enthusiasts, perfect car, perfect Porsche. This is just a 911 with a manual and a bit of weight saving.
Or PDK.
Or you can actually get this car PDK, why wouldn't you? Because it's a better gearbox, right?
Yeah, for using every day in town. I don't get it.
It's weird.
A Carrera S is 87 or 88,000 pound at 400. Is it 400 horsepower? Yeah, 400 horsepower.
Yeah, okay. It would make sense. You know what would have made sense? If they'd put a naturally aspirated engine in it?
Yeah.
Then you'd go, okay, now I see the difference. It's people who don't want the turbocharged. They still want that. Okay, it's a little bit less power, so Porsche aren't trying to cannibalize their own market. But, yeah, I just don't... I'm getting into Porsche. I'm becoming a Porsche fan, but I don't understand this car.
No, nor do I, and I'm a huge Porsche fan. The natural aspirated engines now, I believe, are being saved for the GT... product.
Programs, okay, products.
Yeah. They're not, as far as I know, they're not going to put the turbocharged engines in them. But the turbocharged engine is a better engine anyway than the natural aspirated car. To use every day, it's a much better engine.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot.
we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So, bit of a weird one, that one. Guys, let us know your thoughts on the 9/11 tea. I'm sure lots of people will have opinions on there. I've seen loads of stuff about it on social media, so yeah, people are excited. By the way, if you can hear sort of banging things going on in the background, that's because production of your showroom is still underway. The builders are still going, which is, we're not interrupting because Tony wants to get this place done. And there's a potential, again, I haven't told you the date because we're time traveling here, I could be collecting the next daily from the new showroom.
You will be, yeah.
Here he is.
Yeah.
So maybe you guys will see it then. But anyway, time travel, confusing. The only other thing which I want to touch on, which I really buggered up because we rushed for time and I didn't bring up all the information. Apollo, do you remember Apollo? They made like Gumpet Apollo.
Yeah.
They've released a new hypercar.
I saw it on social media.
Did you? What did it look like? And they did teasers and stuff.
Schmied?
Did Schmied do stuff? No. You saw the Zenvo.
Okay.
So he did the Zenvo. This is Apollo, who did the Gumpet Apollo, got new owners, and they've just released, like, today, and I just had the press release sent through me, but okay, I'm going to bring it up.
No, I think Schmied posted a picture on Instagram today.
Oh, that makes more sense. Okay, hold on a sec. Let me see, because they literally sent me the information, and this is supposed to be a new hyper car. Here we go. To access the press kit... Okay, copy this. Because I think it's... Because what I wanted to talk about was, if you think about it, where were we? Four or five years ago now, we had the LaFerrari 918 P1. Those were our hypercars, right?
And they're all jumping on the bandwagon.
And you had the Veyron.
Yeah.
But that was old.
Yeah.
Now, the Chiron came out. Sure, great.
Yeah.
But we've got Mercedes Project 1, the Aston Martin Valkyrie.
Yeah.
This... Theoretically,
the Hennessy
V5 thing, which
whatever
is,
thing that is,
yeah, which is supposed to be world's fastest car.
Yeah.
We've got Koenigseggs, we've got everything, and so I just think it feels like there's this new age of hypercars that, apart from Mercedes and like I guess Aston Martin, but it's through Red Bull, just feels a bit like a break from the old mold of Ferrari, Porsche, McLaren. Like maybe are we waiting for a Lamborghini hypercar? Don't say the Centenario because I'll just punch you all at an event store with a body kit. But are you not excited by that? Like, do you think you would prefer to stick to the old? Like, are you not excited by an Apollo? God, I wish I could bring up the name.
I'm not excited by it because I can't afford one.
Fair enough. No, but that's a good point. Okay, this isn't going to work. So let's just scrap that. Let's see if I can at least bring up. Well, I'll show you guys a picture and I'll put some stats on screen because I would have been able to do it by now by the time I got home to edit. Okay, because it's too unrealistic. Because all of these cars are like £1, £2, £3 million,
and
that's too silly for you.
It's like I'd love to learn to fly, but I can't afford a plane or a helicopter. But
it's
so
a
I'm
really good
learn.
Point there, because 918 when it came out was 600.
But yeah, a bit more. But,
bit
but,
more.
But
P1 was 680 or something like that.
No, 8 something. I think the P1 was.
I've got all my presses.
The Porsche was the cheapest.
Okay.
Then
LaFerrari was bang on €1 million.
Bang on €1 million.
I remember that. That was bang on €1 million, and everyone's like, "What? What's going on?" So that has been lost a little bit with these new crazy outlandish hypercars that are silly money. So anyway, apologies, I can bring you more on the Apollo. That was just time was short. I literally got the email as I was in there.
No one could afford it anyway.
Someone
well done, Sam.
I don't know. Sultan of Brunei. Nice. Thanks for watching. Thanks for subscribing. Okay. So finally, that now brings us on to Tony's tips.
Oh, God.
Tony's tips. So, as I say, whilst this whole episode will be a monthly feature, this segment as well is going to be a regular feature. And what it will be is some weeks Tony will decide on the sort of categories or the selections himself. But we also want suggestions from you guys. So let's say you're hunting for a car and you've got a 25 grand budget. Then tell us, and Tony will say three cars that you should be buying for $25,000. But we're also doing cars you should sell. You get a lot of cars passing in and out of here. You know, things that are depreciating. You know, things that might be replaced.
Yeah.
All of these different things, you know, bubbles that might about, be about to burst. So we're trying to offer some good consumer advice, basically.
We'll try.
So, Tony, tell me, number one car to buy right now.
So, can I just go manufacturer? Because there's lots.
Wait, what category are we doing?
So we're gonna do supercars.
Supercars
category.
This week. Okay, category is supercars, and the first manufacturer you think?
Anything used Ferrari?
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Sub 10 years.
Okay, but I would argue anything used Ferrari. However. Would you go and buy a brand new GTC4 Lusso with 1,000 miles on the clock?
Yeah, if you can get one.
Would you?
Yeah.
If it's $300,000.
Shall I tell you why?
Please.
Ferrari have just announced from January next year.
Okay.
7% price increase on all their models, apart from one or two, which I don't care to think about. So.
Wow. Okay.
Ferrari have sold out. On every single model, you can't walk into a Ferrari dealer at the moment
and buy one
of their cars. Everything is at least a year. So we all know 8-12 is 4 years. It's sold out. You can't buy one.
Because that's the thing. Because I fully admit, I think anything that is used from LOL 360s to Mondials to anything is a safe bet with Ferrari these days.
Yeah,
as long as you get a good one and you don't trash it, like it's. That's the way the world is going, that people are buying old Ferraris.
Yeah.
But I thought the new stuff, I would still be nervous. Like, if you look at F12s, they basically haven't budged. From the day they came out,
they've
sat at the same price. They're slowly trickling down now.
They'll stop at $200,000.
They'll stop at $200,000, you reckon?
Yeah, I think so.
But that's still a pretty great bet. But I thought, for example, GTC4 Lusso, like the FF, you can spec them up to $350,000, that you are just going to tank value, but you don't think that's the case.
Well... But you're not going to spend that much money on a used one, are you? It's would have already lost a bit of value.
Sure. Okay. Fair enough.
The fact that you got the 7% price increase.
Okay.
You can't buy one new anyway because there's a waiting list for them.
Fine.
You can't say to Ferrari, "Can I have one now?"
Yeah. Yeah. No, they go. Sorry, sir.
Sorry, sir. It's 18 months or however long. They take $20,000 off you, and you got to wait.
Or you give you a Cali tea in the meantime.
Or they say buy a Portofino, which is at least another year as well.
Portofino, yeah, that's exciting. Okay. By the way, I do realise that, you know, not everyone listening, supercars aren't always going to be super relevant, which is why we want your suggestions. We're just doing this time because we thought it would be interesting to talk about this category, but that's why we want your suggestions moving forward. So we'll be sure to announce on social media before we're doing these episodes to get these categories in. Anyway, continuing with supercars, number two on the list.
Number two... Porsche.
Oh, okay. New? Anything new Porsche or anything Porsche in general?
So I don't want people to misunderstand that they think they can buy a Ferrari or a Porsche and not lose any money.
Right.
Because I know on social media especially that people perceive that they drive cars around.
Sure.
And they don't lose any money. I never get that because I do this as a job. And I lose money on my personal cars, and this is my job. So you are always going to lose money on something you buy.
Sure.
And you have to expect to because it's depreciation.
It's a car.
It's an asset.
It's an asset. It's a car.
It's not a house.
No, exactly.
But you minimise your loss buying certain manufacturers.
Okay.
So this is
your advice in general, like good cars to buy that are going
to
hold value reasonably well, going to be great cars, going to treat you good, and then you hopefully won't crap a brick. It's not buy these cars to make money. That's not the advice.
Not on a normal run-of-the-mill stuff. That's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
And to drive a 200-odd grand car around, I'm using a Ferrari as an example, and you lose 10 or 20 grand, that's perfectly acceptable, I think.
Sure.
Unless you're very lucky, you've got to expect to lose something.
Yeah, yeah, of
because
course. It's
you can
a car,
blow,
you put miles on it. And,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
You can blow $30,000 a year driving a Range Rover.
Okay.
To drive a car more than double the value of that, you've done well.
You've done well. Okay.
Porsche the same.
Number three?
Number three, I'm going to go a bit older and a bit more reachable, essentially. So I'm going to go for manual V8 R8.
Okay, interesting.
Up to 50K.
Value or miles?
nano value.
Okay. Okay.
With 20 or 30,000 miles on it.
That is a steal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a proper supercar still. That's a like a really full on. You get the gated gearbox like I got on the 360.
Don't buy the R-tronic. Awful.
That's awful. It's a gear, slow, clunky.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want it. So the manual, you're more engaged, more reliable.
That would appeal to more people.
Wow. Okay. You know what? I'd almost forgotten about those cars.
Yeah.
The Gen 1 VARH manual.
Yeah.
What a wicked car. Yeah, for under 50 grand.
Yeah, yeah. And you'll get a nice one for that, you know.
Why don't we consider that as my next daily?
Because you've already got a supercar.
Yeah, so. No, good point. Anyway. Okay, good shout. Good shout. So that's your kind of like affordable supercar almost that you could go out there now. And you think you're going to do all right, reasonably all right in terms of value with that car? You
don't think it's going to dip
much lower?
No. Because I think I think the cheapest you can pick them up for are like 40K.
Okay.
So it's always good to try and look at the older models. But the thing is with the R8s at 40K, price-wise, you're going to get like a... Not a nice one.
No,
proper history.
Yeah, sometimes with the older cars, don't always go super low on the value.
Yeah, they've not been looked after.
You're going to spend more looking it up. Okay, awesome. That's our first go at Tony's tips of cars to buy right now, or cars to look into buying right now.
So troll me if you like. I don't really know what I'm talking about.
Yes, you do, Tony. Don't talk yourself down. On the flip side, three cars to sell. So this is if, you know, as I say, this is not, get rid of your car immediately. But if you are looking to change at the moment, or you've had a car for a little bit of a while, what should you think about getting rid of? What are the new facelifts coming out that are going to kind of go bad on value? What are the emissions regulations stopping us doing?
So I'm going to go for three cars. Emission regulated because of the new rules.
Yeah.
Anything pre-2010.
Anything pre-2010?
Diesel. So...
Get out.
Range Rover especially.
Really?
Yeah, so the V8 diesel Range Rovers.
Okay.
Before they put the new 3-litre diesel in.
Get out.
Get rid of them.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
A few manufacturers started to announce they're bringing the scrappage schemes back.
Yeah, they're all doing it, which is backed by the manufacturer, not the government.
Okay.
So...
Look into that.
Yeah, look into it for sure. The next car I'm going to say... it's an M product car as well.
Ooh.
They are good value for money, but when they go wrong, they're terminal.
Oh, really?
So V10 M5.
V10 M5. You know, that's really interesting because it's a car that I think a lot of people see the V10 and go, oh my God, like it's relatively affordable. It's big power, it's big engine, it's BMW.
Yeah.
But they can have big problems.
They have... The running costs are awful.
Really?
They use a lot of oil.
Wow, okay.
They chew gearboxes.
Interesting. Clutches.
We've had a few come in that... And they've only had like 50,000 miles on them and stuff like that.
And they're just...
Yeah, they're just...
Wow, okay. Yeah. Cool. So that's more stay away. Yeah.
Vanos units as well, which is common on M-powered cars as well. The Vanos units go on them.
Okay.
So, they're all a fortune.
Steer away.
Yeah, steer away. The last car...
He's racking his brains.
I'm going to go for Aston Martin.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to go too hard on it because I've got two in stock.
You know what? I'm the biggest fan of Aston Martin as a brand, and that M430 you got next door I think is amazing. But anyway, let's move on.
And we're not talking about the M430 in general. I'm just talking about that period of Aston Martin. The new one's coming out.
Yeah, I just got invited to the launch of it in November. Literally, now. Yeah.
Which I believe is very heavily AMG.
Yeah, it's very Merc. Now Aston have got their partnership with Mercedes, as was seen in the DB11.
Yep.
Heavily Merc influence, which can only be a good thing, I think.
Yeah.
Can only be a good car. Thing.
Yeah.
But do you not think then that the old Vantage, as successful as it was, as iconic as it was, will become this kind of like, that was the last great Aston? I know, of course, there was DBSs and Vanquishes and blah, 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 but as a sort of Aston through and through, that car has been such an iconic car over the last 10 years. Do you not think that people will always have that soft spot for it?
Yeah, there'll always be a following, but from what I know, I think people only have Aston Martins once because it ticks a box.
Okay.
They never buy another one.
Interesting.
There might be a few people say, my dad's had five.
No, of course. Everyone's different, but
in general,
from what you see in terms of coming in and out of stock.
Yeah. Okay. They'll buy one and then they come in and go, I wouldn't have another one.
Okay. And what do they swap to usually?
Porsche.
Really?
No way.
Or
even a Jag. So Jag historically, they've always been cheaper. They both plummet in money.
Sure.
I know, I owned an F-Type, if you don't remember, too. That you, thank God, got me out of somehow.
Sorry to the owner.
Yeah, no, great car. But,
great car.
Yeah, but yeah. Lost a lot of money.
Yeah, you did. Although he won't, though.
No, he won't, because I lost the money for him.
And he scooped it up for me, so good on him.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Jaguar has always been the better car.
Okay.
Than the Aston. The Aston is fundamentally 30 years old.
It's a very basic,
it's a very old
car. Manuals I think are better, like the tech and everything in there is what shows up as being dated now, and a lot of the components and the feel of it. But I had to go in that V12 Vantage S manual from Dick Lovett down in Bristol.
Yeah,
and I thought it was amazing because they got rid of a lot of the crap. You know, like, it was very raw and basic. It just felt like a hot rod. It felt like someone had got a chassis of a car and stuck a massive engine in it and put a gearbox and off you go.
But I think also, I would say you probably got lost in the emotion because it's a terrible car. It is a terrible car. Honestly, I really just think they're not up to date. When you look at all their competitors, Jag,
yeah,
Porsche,
yeah,
can you put Mercedes in? Maybe you can put Mercedes in.
So basically, if you are thinking of buying one, like me, you could get caught up in the emotion, and you are going to get a lot of that. But you kind of want to look at it almost like a short-term ownership experience, like buy one for
you've
a year,
tick
a box, and move on.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't buy a lifer. Aston Martin, because that's when you're going to get into trouble. So, like, for example, N430 you got here, Vantage outside, that would be a great car for someone to come along and go, you know, I just want a fun car for 6, 12
for
months.
Money.
Exactly.
Yeah,
And that's why I kind of want to bring you back from the brink a bit, because a lot of people I know see the Vantages like, that could be my first supercar, because you can pick them up relatively affordably.
40 grand, you get a good one.
So I think as long as you have taking your advice, reading between the lines, as long as you view it as, okay, a bit of fun for 6, 9, 12 months, and then get out and move on, except you're going to lose a little bit of money.
Yeah, you will.
You're going to have a good time. But if you go, right, this is my next car for the next 3 years, that's when you're going to be in trouble, because you'll lose a big chunk of money. Things will go wrong. Trouble. If I can get my time traveling calculations correct, this weekend will be the reveal of my next daily, which of course Tony has been instrumental in helping source. But I also need to give a slight shout out and more information, obviously, on that to Magnitude Finance, because once again the wizards at Magnitude Finance have come through and enabled me and helped us find a great car and get me in it
and
make it affordable. And anyway, more on that to come, because there's no point in talking about it now until you guys know what car it is and blah blah blah. But I just love those guys so much, I have to always give them plugs. anyway, let's draw it to an end here, because I think the builders are keen to get on, and I keep seeing your other salesmen poking in here trying to take stuff on test drives. So we're going to wrap it up, guys. I hope you've enjoyed tuning in and listening. I hope you've enjoyed this sort of first sub episode of Tony's Tips. And for those of you watching on YouTube, make sure to give the video a thumbs up if you want to see more behind the glass episodes on YouTube, and we'll bring it back. I'm going to go for 10,000 likes, and that'll be there.
Yeah.
10,000 likes, and we'll do regular YouTube videos. For now, if you want to follow the podcast on audio, it's Seen Through Glass on SoundCloud and iTunes. So soundcloud.com/seenthroughglass, and on iTunes podcast, just search Seen Through Glass. Tony at Gravelwood Car Sales on Instagram, www.gravelwood.co.uk on the website. And that's probably
Twitter.
It, I think. Twitter at Gravelwood.
Gravelwood Car.
Car.
I think.
Singular.
I've got two accounts.
I'll tag him on the when this podcast goes live.
Anyway, guys, thanks for tuning in. We'll catch up with you very, very soon.
Cheers, guys.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.